After how short last week's gospel was, we make up for it this week with a big chunk of Matthew chapter 5. So 2 weeks ago, we started with the Beatitudes. Last week, the Lord said, "You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth." And now this week, the teaching goes deeper. First, he reminds us that he has come to fulfill everything in the Old Testament. And then he proceeds to take just three of the commandments and to help us to see them on a much deeper level. At the time of our Lord, and even quite a bit before him, as the Pharisees rose up, the Pharisees were a response to the Babylonian exile. They were trying to teach the Jewish people that you could follow the law, and they did it in a very public way. And originally, that was to give other people the realization that they could do it too. In a sense, it was positive peer pressure. But over the centuries, it became very legalistic. There wasn't an understanding that your heart belonged to the Lord. It was, if you didn't actually violate the sixth commandment or the fifth commandment by killing someone or committing adultery, then you hadn't violated the commandment. But today the Lord is telling us that's not so. In a different place in the gospel, he tells us that out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he also says that it's from the heart the things that defile man come out of his heart. He's teaching that in conjunction with the Jews who were so afraid to eat this or that thing, which were, of course, part of the Old Testament, but he did away with the Old Testament dietary laws. He said, what you eat does not make you unclean, but it's what you allow in your heart. And so with the fifth commandment, interesting that he ties "you shall not kill" directly to anger. And we know from John, particularly, that our Lord had righteous anger. And I think a lot of times we like to think we have righteous anger too. But the only problem with that is we're not perfect, and he was. His passions and emotions were completely under the control of his intellect and his will. Everything the Lord Jesus did was reasonable. But how often has it happened that some little thing happens and my whole day is thrown off? Even if it wasn't just what happened, there's an outsized reaction to what happened. And that's what the Lord is getting at with this first part on the fifth commandment. You cannot allow the anger, the emotion of anger, to have free reign over everything that goes on in your life, or you're violating the fifth commandment. We have to be very guarded about what we take in. We live in a culture that has no guardrails anymore. There's no sense of the good Pharisees who were trying to be good examples, 500 years before the Lord came. Most of the examples that we see are not good examples. And unfortunately, many of us imitate the bad examples. We see it on the news. If you watch the news or however you get your news, no matter what news you watch, you can watch somebody angry yelling at somebody else. No sense of decorum, no sense of respect for a human person. And you and I, we follow Jesus Christ, and that's not acceptable. It doesn't mean that there aren't things that we should be upset about, because there are. St. Thomas says that if you're not upset about things that are upsetting, then there might be something wrong with you. But we should not live our whole lives steeped in anger and hatred. That will not lead to Christ. And then from the sixth commandment, we go to the sixth commandment. Again, the Pharisees thought if you weren't physically violating the sixth commandment, there was no problem. Not so for those who follow Christ. Lust is not a virtue, and it is never good. And we should never purposely seek it and encourage it. There's a principle, I teach this to the OCIA class, I teach it to the high schoolers. There is only one place where the sexual union is blessed, and that's between a husband and a wife. There is no other place on the face of this planet where God will give a blessing to people who use the sexual faculty in a way that is not congruent to his revelation of husband and wife. We do not live in a society that believes that. Unfortunately, many Catholics don't believe that. I remember it was about 15 years ago, I was preparing a young couple for marriage, and they were both living the way they were supposed to. And he said to me, "Father, you would be stunned at how many people in our parish have asked us why we don't live together." It wasn't like a curiosity, it was like, you should be doing this. Why in the world would anybody ever encourage their children to violate God's law and to live in mortal sin? And that's what happens so often in our culture. A lot of young people don't even know that that's wrong. And parents, you do have a severe duty to look after the souls of your children. That's more important than anything else. And you have to be their guide in purity. You don't have control over their hearts, but you do have an influence. And you need to make sure that your home is a home where lust is not accepted, where it's not sneaking in through the internet to the best of your abilities. But not just that, you also have to form their hearts. And the best way that you can form their hearts is the way that you love one another, because that will be their example. And purity is always a struggle. That's not new. The Lord would not have mentioned this if it wasn't a struggle when he was living. But it was a struggle 2,000 years ago. It was a struggle 4,000 years ago, and it's a struggle today. But we have to take real seriously what the struggle is. And we have to do what we can, personally, individually, to seek truth and beauty. And then for those of you with children, especially when they're still home, to protect them from the evils of lust, because it does corrupt the heart. And then finally, we get to the last of the commandments the Lord speaks of in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, don't take an oath. So he's talking about the eighth commandment. I've mentioned this before, but we do live in a culture of lies. I think 75 years ago, that was not true in this country. But today it is. We have all sorts of people who call good evil and evil good, and all sorts of other people go along with it. But for us, it's not that way. Good is good and evil is evil. And we have to let our yes mean yes and our no mean no. You know, if you talk to people, I think of my parents, you know, when my mom talks about her dad, in his day, my grandpa, the handshake was the deal. Because his yes meant yes and his no meant no. But now we have to have a lawyer draw up this huge contract to make sure that we can just do whatever it is, even simple things in life. Because our yeses don't mean yes and our noes don't mean no. And so today we really get to the Lord calling to us to a profound conversion to Christian living. He's already told us we're supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And these three commandments, obviously there are seven others, but in a particular way, he's called out these three commandments to take us to a deeper level. What are you putting in your heart? Are you letting the grace of the Lord come into your heart, which has this ability to transform everything? This is a big difference between Catholics and Protestants. Martin Luther said that all we are is a pile of dung and the Lord snows over us. He just puts a white cover over us. But that's not the Catholic teaching. We believe that when God puts his grace into us, it goes right to the heart of us, and it renews the whole person. We still have the struggle with concupiscence. We still have a darkened intellect and a weakened will. But when the grace of the Lord comes into us, we're completely renewed. And St. Paul, the reading we had from St. Paul today is so beautiful to link with this part of the Sermon on the Mount. Because what did he tell us? He talked about heaven. And he said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it dawned on the heart of man what God has ready for those who love him. And that's us, or it should be. This earth is not the end. We live for something so much greater, and we don't know it. St. Paul said, you really cannot understand what's in store for you when you go to heaven. You can't imagine it. That's how much it's better than anything you have ever done in your whole life. And that's almost inconceivable to us. But when that grace comes into your soul, the grace of Jesus Christ, and totally renews you, and you set out on this path to follow him, then you're living for heaven. And the beautiful thing about saints is when we live this way, it draws other people here. Because Jesus Christ and his way of life is attractive. And we live in a world that has embraced nihilism, has embraced nothingness. And so many people, when they finally see, they're exposed to the real truth about Jesus Christ and his church, they want to know more. We've been given a great gift. And today the Lord is calling us deeper with this deep teaching on the fifth and the sixth and the eighth commandment. And it's all for the purpose of being the salt of the earth and the light of the world and seeking to live in the kingdom.